Welcome to an episode of Pop Spotting Listener Edition. We're here to support Ryan and Jen and the Pop Spotting community. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Jennifer.
And today's episode is going to be a spoiler edition for Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, both the movie and the book.
And Brave.
And Pixar's Brave.
Yay.
We saw them as a double feature yesterday and really wanted to talk about it, to share with everybody. So, this is going to be your spoiler alert. If you want to watch Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, or Brave and have not yet and don't want to be spoiled, please save it until you have seen them. And if you want to read Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, the book, please, please wait until you've read it to actually listen to this. Okay, spoiler alert has been out, so no one can yell at us.
Okay, dude. Okay.
Which one do we want to talk about first?
If we start talking about Brave now, it will take up the entire time. I have that many feels.
Yes. Okay, so let's start with Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. That's easy enough.
That was easy.
We both read the book.
Yep. I listened to the book about a year ago.
And I finished the book on Friday and watched the movie on Sunday. And the one thing I'm going to say is they are two totally separate things. The only things that they have in common is that they are about Abraham Lincoln and he is a vampire hunter in both.
Oh, no, wait. There's Henry in both of them. That's really about it. Oh, and his mom dies.
His mom
dies. At the very beginning.
He's married to Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah. There's a civil war.
He goes to Ford's Theater, which I tried to tell him not to go in the movie.
It didn't work.
I was like, don't go. The play's not good. Don't go.
Funny.
But
the play is horrible. Have you ever read the play? Oh my god,
no.
It's absolutely...
Our American Cousin.
Oh, it's a horror... Well, by their standards, it was a good play. By our standards, it's like, what? This is funny? This is not funny. This is horrible.
So it'd be Jersey Shore or something now. Or worse.
Worse.
Sorry, I'm not a Jersey Shore fan. You can send your hate mail. No, just kidding. Okay, so Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Anyway,
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter as a movie, we did see it in 3D.
We did. It was very multi-dimensional.
But it was really pretty.
It was really pretty. It was a very pretty film. And the action scenes are absolutely amazing. And the atmospherics are just, very much a Russian director. You can definitely tell that.
Definitely. I mean, they started off with DC as it is currently and then put it into...
And faded over into...
1865
DC. 1860-ish.
Ish.
Yeah.
Like with the Washington Monument half done and Washington, DC turned back into a swamp. And we both... live near Washington, D.C., so that was a little weird for us.
And kind of cool.
But
too.
Very cool. Yeah. But so it was very interesting. So the movie definitely changes from the book.
Hugely. Hugely.
Hugely. And it takes out Abraham Lincoln's sister. That is a problem for me.
There are characters that aren't there. There's whole chunks. Abraham Lincoln, very well-known historical figure. The book... very true to what the general, this is what Abraham Lincoln's life was like, you know, pretty much the entire way from childhood until he died. The movie is about this weird fictional person named Abraham Lincoln who didn't have a little sister, wasn't a farmer. Wasn't a farmer. They spend absolutely no time whatsoever on him being a rail splitter. All sorts of
very
crazy
little
stuff.
Time on him being a lawyer.
He's studying to be a lawyer and then isn't.
And then he gets married and is then in this Congress in the movie.
Yeah.
So it's actually
very bizarre. They jump a lot and it's very confusing.
And the fact, I actually almost think for this time, the fact that we read the book actually
maybe made it worse.
Made it worse.
Maybe.
I was watching this, and I was like, did I read this book? I just finished the book on Friday. That was just 2 days ago. Did I miss something? Did I skip, characters?
And there's a three-chapter period where he, freaks out about Henry being a vampire. Sorry, that was a spoiler. And all this other stuff. And, you know, chooses to put up everything and be with Mary Todd and devote to being a lawyer.
His children. That's the other thing. He only had one kid in the movie.
Yeah, he has more children than that.
Abraham Lincoln has, five kids, and they all mostly die. All but yeah. one die, but, you know.
Anyway, but, so, like, they took, like, this huge three-chapter arc of him going through existential angst and shortened it to, like, a scene and a half. And it was like, really? Really?
But is this is what we got into yesterday, is that that's the difference between books and the movie and movies, mm-hmm. is books you can get into the head and...
You can get all the atmospherics that take, you know, 100 pages to really define. And in movies, you have to do it in like a scene and a half. So I can understand why some of the changes were made and why there were characters that weren't in the book and all sorts of crazy stuff. But...
So we're actually, I think I actually am saying for once, stay away from the book. Just go see the movie and then maybe read it afterwards because, and the book is good. It's kind of, it's a little ridiculous.
You kind of have to just accept that this is an alternative history and just go on from there. But it's like, it's such an accurate alternative history.
Oh my gosh. I think it's amazing. I think... Okay, so, and again, we're spoiling everything, so, from the book.
Completely and totally.
Yes. Is that the reason, in Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, the reason slavery exists is for the slaves to feed the vampires in the South. And that, it just makes total sense, in a way, like, from the book, I guess, but it, in...
Yeah.
It just is one of those, it's hard, I'm not doing a very good job explaining it right now, but it just, it made so much sense to me. It's like... Well, that's why it happened. I mean, not that I actually think it did. Maybe a little tiny, tiny half, a little bit, but not maybe really.
But in the book, it takes like a good half the book to build up to that revelation.
Yes.
And you kind of, yeah, it takes about half the book, I think. And in the movie, it's like pretty much obvious from the get-go. And you're like, well, it I don't know, it just didn't have as much impact as I wanted it to have.
No, it definitely didn't. But it, I just think and that just made so much sense. And that's why Abraham Lincoln was against vampires. So he came up out against slavery and became an abolitionist. Easy for me to say.
Mm.
Because he wanted to... He didn't like the vampires because they killed his mother. And then they also killed his son.
And his sister.
And his... No, I think
yeah, they did kill his sister.
She had a baby and she died. She died in childbirth.
Okay. You read the book more recently than I did.
I really promise I did. Even though I'm like, I don't even know. It over
I could have sworn his sister was affected by the vampires in some way.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, anyway.
She...
Yeah, and his mother, like, had this wasting sickness. So, like, she was being visited by a vampire, like, over and over again. And in the book, it was all, like, one night. And then she was dead. And it was mm-hmm. like, well, you don't get much emotional impact from... You know, Abraham having this tight bond with his mom, and then...
And she died really early in the movie. They're, like, in the first, like, 10
like, she
minutes.
Has... Well, she had that one scene where she protected her son.
Yes.
Where she and the father protected Abraham.
And Will, which is,
Which is a composite character and wasn't in the book.
Yeah, no, it wasn't in the book.
He
I'm like
not in the book at all, the book. As I remember.
But there was this really cool scene where the vampires were attacking a train and they also set the bridge on fire, and so the train is going over the bridge
as
it's on fire.
There was no train scene in the book. No train. But it was a really cool scene. It was very action-packed and really well-oriented and so forth and so on. No scene like that in the book at all. Oh, and did you know that Mary Todd Lincoln was at Gettysburg killing vampires? I have no idea. But evidently she was. Because it was that it because she was in the movie and everybody knew Harriet Tubman. Who knew?
Yeah. Mary Todd Lincoln and Harriet Tubman.
Like BFFs. It was great.
Underground Railroad to Gettysburg. But okay, I so cheered when Mary Todd Lincoln shot the vampire that killed her son.
Oh yeah, absolutely, cuz that's you don't mess with Mama Bear. But anyway.
So kind of going to rate it. I think Ryan and Jen usually rate movies. I think out of 5.
Are we rating it on fun and amusement factor? Are we rating it on accuracy? Or are we rating it on how, like, the book it was?
Pick one.
Oh, but we didn't mention the scene as they go into New Orleans.
Oh, so they're going down the Mississippi. and they're on this little boat, like, made of, like, basically wood, and they come across...
It's a flatboat.
Flatboat, yeah, and they come across steamships in New Orleans.
Oh, my
and
God. It was like, it made New Orleans in the 1860s just absolute live in the
mid-1800s.
Mid-1800s,
yeah.
And it was just absolutely... Oh, my gosh. It was like... I can guarantee you've never seen New Orleans from that... in that way.
Yeah.
And it really makes New Orleans look like a living, breathing mid-1800s city. And it's very hard to think of New Orleans that way, I think, sometimes. I mean, we're told about it, and, you know, we all hear about how vibrant the Mississippi and New Orleans was. But until you really see it, you don't really get just how phenomenal it was. And all the steamships and all of the paddle boats and... Yeah, it was really cool.
It was very cool. So I think what we were saying, if you are into cinematography and kind of seeing things, definitely go see this. If you don't, you know, the story is maybe not the best.
If you like to nitpick, might not be the best story for you.
Might not be the best one. But yeah, I think I would probably give it about a 3 out of 5, just overall.
Probably a 3.
I had fun with it, like.
Lots of fun.
Was it the best movie ever?
Oh, God, no.
No. Do I really need to see it again?
No.
Because to be honest, there was a bunch of the movie that I had to cover my eyes because...
Yeah, it was absolutely hysterical, actually. That was really funny.
I would be like, oh, there go the vampires coming. I'm going to close my eyes.
I'd look over and Maggie would all be like,
ah! Like, I don't want to see the scary vampire. He's going to jump out at me. I don't like it.
Okay. Anyway, so speaking of movies that I need to go see again and again and again and will be bought and will be pre-ordering from Amazon as soon as it's available is Brave.
Is Brave. She already bought the soundtrack.
Yes, already have soundtrack and everything. It's a fantastic movie.
And really before
I go into why it's such a fantastic movie, Maggie, I think you should talk because I feel like I could completely take over everything.
And that's okay. I'm excited for... Those of you that do not know, I do podcasts. This is Jennifer's first podcast that she's ever been on. Perfect. So, which is kind of exciting to have someone to be someone's first.
Yeah. I'm a podcast newbie.
Yay! But okay, so Brave is the new Pixar
movie.
Pixar movie that just came out. It is about a Scottish princess who does not really want to be a princess. And her mother kind of forces her to do all these princess lessons. And you kind of see that at the beginning in the book when all Merida... Movie, sorry. All Merida really wants to do is go out and shoot her bow and arrows. And that's what she does on her horse, Angus, when she has some free time. And so there's kind of some things with her father... lost part of his leg to a bear, this big scary bear, and that's
big scary legendary
Highlands bear, and he attacks, kind of goes after her when she's little, and that's actually when her dad loses his leg, and so the clans are coming because it's in Scotland, and
it's time for Merida to be betrothed and get married and become a princess/queen and do all the general things that royal parents want their children to do. And she is, like, not having any of it.
She's like, no. And so they kind of do say that the firstborn of each of the clans can compete for her hand. And she's like, hey, I'm the firstborn. I can compete for my own hand.
Yes.
And she does. And that doesn't go... Well, and she wins. And that doesn't go over so well.
She wins by, like, 1,400 miles. And her mother is furious. And Merida is like,
you not listening to me. And that's sort of, and that, well.
It's such a quintessential mother-daughter relationship. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about this movie. Is that we finally have an animated, family-oriented movie that is about mothers and daughters. It is a mother-daughter movie at its core. And that is just so amazing because... That kind of story is just not well received in the mainstream, and I don't know why. You see lots of father-son movies, Finding Nemo, all sorts of other things. You see lots of father-son movies, Lion King, all that. But mother-daughters, not so much.
Well, yeah, usually most of the Disney fairy tales, they don't usually have a mother.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why Brave is just so amazing. And that's one of the reasons why I love it so much, is that it's about mothers and daughters, and Merida is at that age where she's, mom has just all these expectations, and Merida doesn't want to fulfill these expectations. And I had more coherent thoughts last night.
No, that was really good. And so Merida runs away, finds a witch in the woods.
Which is not an evil person. I loved that.
No, she really wasn't. She was kind of silly.
I loved that.
She wasn't really, like,
she wasn't the classic Disney villain.
No.
She's just this funky little wood carver out in the woods. And you know, and she even tries to tell Merida how to fix what went wrong.
She definitely does. And she even tries to be like, I don't do this anymore because too many unhappy customers. Like, yeah. Basically, she basically tells her that magic is not going to solve your problem. But Merida doesn't believe her and ends up turning her mother into a bear.
Yep. Which I totally did not see coming, because I kind of figured out from the trailers that it was either that I thought it was going to be her dad that turned into a bear. Because it's frequently the father figure.
That's true.
That these movies are about. It's frequently the child and the father figure. And so I was absolutely just so impressed and amazed when it was the mother that got turned into the bear. But Merida takes care of her.
She does. And they have to, and so, because, again, the father is famous for fighting bears. So if he is known as
the Bear King.
The Bear King. So he's got a bear in his castle. What does he want to do? He wants to kill the bear. He just doesn't know it's his wife.
And chase scenes ensue.
And which is amazing. And Merida also has three little brothers, which I think they're triplets. Are they?
They look like triplets.
They look like...
They're all the exact same size. So
they're all about the same size. And they are kind of cause a lot of trouble. But they also know lots of ins and outs of the castle. So they do a lot of that. And that's kind of amusing. That's very amusing.
That'll be a lot of fun for, like, the little boys, I think, who understand the whole mischief-making thing. But like I said, the story at its heart is absolutely a daughter and mother relationship, which I can't tell you.
I know, awesome. No, it was really awesome.
And so Merida and takes care of her mom and shows her mom that, look, hunting isn't that bad when you need food out in the woods. And so Merida's mother kind of in bear form understands that.
The mother kind of grunts and does bear, and Merida knows what she's saying.
Bear sign language.
Like, gets all frustrated with her, like, ah! It's just very funny. It's some funny little things, like, again, some mother-daughter things, which is just amusing. And basically the witch, she goes back to find the witch to get her to fix it,
and the witch is not there, and she tries, and she leaves a message for Merida telling her how to fix it, which is awesome.
Yes.
Because Disney villains just don't do that.
But she's not a villain. She's just a witch.
She's a plot point.
Yeah, she really is. It's just something that, you know, they needed to... That this was the way that they made this. They made this movie about the mother and the daughter.
Yeah.
And so
they talk and they finally figure out that the tapestry needs to be repaired, because that's how to fix the curse.
Fix the bind that pride broke or something like that. Something about...
You have to repair the bond. Rended by pride?
Yeah, I can't...
Something like that.
It's got to do... It's to change her fate, and that's what she wants to do. She wants to change her fate because she doesn't want to get married right now. And it's something with fixing the bond. And that was kind of... And that pride broke it. And I can't... The exact word...
Because Merida had a fight with her mom, and Merida accidentally cut a slit straight down through a tapestry with... Her mom holding hands.
Yeah, and her family. Her mom's, you know, kind of cut her mom out of it, the way you look at it.
Oh, and the symbolism of mom throwing that bow in the fire.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And so that part was really interesting to me, that it was not, again, it wasn't magic. It was the relationship that needed to be fixed. It absolutely wasn't.
And Mom was so devastated when she realized what she had done with that bow.
She definitely was.
And that is like, I think every parent, every daughter can really relate to that. It's like, out of anger, you do something, and then you look at what you've done, and you're like, oh my God, that was the dumbest thing I ever could have done possible.
Yep.
And you so regret that, and you're so upset, and you have no way to apologize to the person you hurt.
Yep. And so it does have a happy ending. It does not quite end the way...
It does not have a traditional Disney happy ending, which, oh, I just love.
Which was awesome.
So it doesn't have a traditional happy ending. So there's this wacky bear that lives up in the, there's also these will-o'-the-wisps. I'm like totally talking too fast. But so while Merida and her mom are kind of bonding over the process of like a day and a half, in bear form.
Mother and bear
they,
form.
They find these, Merida has always been led by will-o'-the-wisps to places that she needs to go. So she's led by the will-o'-the-wisps up this hill to the last person that took the spell from the witch. And that person just happened to be the guy that became the legendary bear of the Highlands that took her father's leg.
And that her father's been after. And they haven't seen for like years.
Yeah. They haven't seen it for like 10 years, and now all of a sudden it's back. So anyway, so all this happens and hijinks ensue, and there's a chase through the castle, and it's just amazing. And so they get the tapestry. Merida repairs it while Mom is being chased out of the castle to the stone circle by Dad and
all the clans.
This is where it gets awesome. This is where it gets absolutely amazing.
It really does.
Because so they get to the stone circle, and all of a sudden the big bad bear is there. And the big bad bear goes after Merida, and Mom steps in and totally saves her. Meanwhile, all the guys from the clans are just kind of standing there going, we have no idea what's going on.
And Merida fights her father and all of them. It's like, I will not let you kill my mother. Like, she gets in front, like, it, between all the men and the and her mother as the bear, and is like, no, I'm not. And so that's kind of...
It's awesome to finally see a movie where the women take the agency, and the women do the fighting, and the women are the active ones instead of standing in the background watching the men. In this movie, the men are standing in the background watching the women take care of business. And that is so rare, and it's so awesome. So anyway, and it's really funny because in the soundtrack, there's a song about how, and Dad sings this while he's entertaining the other clans. And he says, I'm going to kill the bear, and all the clans will kill the bear, and we're going to cut up the bear, and we're going to make mincemeat and haggis and all this great stuff out of this bear and blah, 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 blah. And in the end, it's the women that kill the bear, and the men are just standing there dumbstruck.
Yeah,
and it's
which is pretty
so
cool.
Awesome. It's just so amazing watching that scene. And so anyway, so it's not, spoiler, it's not the tapestry that fixes the rend. It's Merida saying, I'm sorry.
And I kind made of a mistake and I need you. And
yeah.
I understand your perspective more than I did before. And
Mom understands her perspective now. And anyway, so everything's hunky-dory at the end. And all of the, and there's this, oh, we missed the scene in the hall.
Oh, yeah. Which is, so basically, when with the queen gone, the men is really kind of funny. The men
start fighting. Oh, my God.
The men are just like children. Like, and it's really kind of funny. So they're trying to get to the tapestry, and Merida comes. They're trying to get sneak Mom in, but all the men are kind of, and they're kind of fighting, and Merida comes in and basically has to act like her mother. And yeah. She does. And like,
she does, straight up.
And like,
with a little bit of feeding of lines from Mom.
Yeah, with the bear sign language, which is just amazing. And she kind of, with her mom, and her mom helps her, you know, to say that, you know, we don't need to be arranging the marriage, you know, through a contest. We need to let them decide through love how to, who they want to marry. Yeah. And isn't that the better way? And
this is like one of the few times where the sons of the clan leaders, of the other three clan leaders, actually speak up and say, you know, that's actually a really good idea. I didn't really want to come here anyway.
I didn't really want to marry her anyway. There's one of them that you can't understand. So there's one that's a pretty boy. There's one that's a little runt. And then there's one that you cannot understand at all because he's like the Viking one. And you cannot understand a word he says at all.
Because his Scottish accent is so... So, like, even his dad doesn't understand him. It's kind of epic.
It's amazing. So it has a lot of fun little Pixar things, which most movies do.
And John Ratzenberger is in there. I did hear him. Maggie didn't, but I did.
I didn't, but his name is in the credits, so I believe that he was there. And because he has to be in all of them.
So, anyway, so long story short, the movie ends on a happy note. And Merida and her mom are off riding their horses around, and her mom is letting her hair flow freely, and it's just fantastic. And nobody got married. Nobody got married in a Disney princess movie. I can't even begin to tell you how much I love this movie at this point. Yes. I cannot begin to tell you. Because there was one brief moment where they broke the spell on the big bad bear, whose name I can never remember. And they break the spell. And you see his spectral form. You see his ghost form.
His spirit
And it form. Nods to Merida.
And it's kind of like a thank you. I was
and
trapped in
gone
there.
And it's gone. Because he knows how powerful she is. It's just so amazing. But it's like if they wanted to take it the easy Disney way out, they could have somehow given him a corporeal form and made him marry Merida.
Which is what I thought might happen.
And they didn't.
And Jennifer almost killed me when I said that. And I was like, that could have happened. She's like,
no.
Which, no, I did really like this, but I'll admit I'm a fan.
I mean, it's like they tacked on a romantic everybody marries in the end ending onto
Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog, which I hated. I love the movie, hate the ending. But that's a completely different problem. But on this one, nobody got married. Merida was free to live her own life.
She was.
And she and her mom finally kind of sort of understood each other.
And have a relationship that is not about kind of the princess lessons, which kind of reminds me of the Princess Diaries, kind of the princess lessons that she's trying to do.
They all put a lot of stereotypes in that.
Basically,
in that scene,
part.
Yeah,
and some of that, in that little montage at the beginning. So, but yeah, much loved movie. Much loved movie.
And made. The original story was written by. And directed by Brenda Chapman.
It's co-directed, I think, with...
She's given full director credits.
I want to say I read something that it was co-directed.
I think they had a co-director on there because...
I'm pulling up IMDb. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I think in the movie, she's given full director credits.
The one thing I'm a little worried about is something that I saw on Facebook kind of before... I guess on Saturday before we saw the movie, somebody was like, about Brave, they said something like, well, Merida basically poisons her mother. And I was like, no, they kind of missed the point.
They totally.
So that's what
totally,
I'm a little
totally
worried
totally
about is people missing the point. That it's not, that there is some magic going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's getting.
There's a kind of a co-direct kind of, there's three of them according to IMDb. But I don't know. Really enjoyed. And she actually, Brenda Chapman wrote some of the screenplay.
Mm-hmm. She wrote the original story and also has a co-writing of the screenplay. And I'm absolutely amazed, and I hope she makes more stuff. Because obviously these are stories that need to be told.
Yep, they definitely are, and told from a woman's perspective and all about mothers and daughters in a different way than is not.
Because, yeah, you get mother and daughter movies, but they're all, like, adult daughters and how they have this weird dysfunctional thing with their mom. And it's so nice to see a bent but not broken and healthy.
Yeah, that it gets...
Relationship.
Yes. Okay, what rating would we kind of give Brave?
Oh, 10. Out of 5. That's I mean, duh.
And so Jennifer really loved it.
It spoke to me. Spoke to me.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. So out of 5, I'd probably give it about a 4.5. So yeah. So that has been our kind of spoiler edition for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter and Pixar's Brave. So we hope you enjoyed it. And Jennifer, if anybody wants to comment, let you know that they agree with you on Brave or disagree or anything about Abraham Lincoln.
Sure.
Where can they find you?
Twitter at Jenny Elf, JennyElf is in Frank.
And I, Maggie, am on Twitter as well. Ilea02, Ilea02. You can also check out my other podcasts, Girls Night in Radio at girlsnightinradio.com and the West Wing podcast at thewestwingpodcast.com. And we want to thank you for listening to the Pop Spotting Listener Edition. We want to hear from you. You can call in your feedback at 815-310-0808. Send an email to feedback at popspotting.net or leave a comment on the Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting. Thanks, guys, for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
Bye.